Good morning. Welcome to you all from Towyn Baptist Church. Well, we finished our last sermon series last week, and today is a one-off Bible-based talk on the subject of what does it mean to live a balanced life. And as well as me contributing today, you'll hear from other contributors as well from within the church. We certainly live in a fast-changing world. If you were born before 1950, then you were born before television in most homes, before convenience, frozen food, common-use plastic, frisbees, and the pill. You were born before credit cards, laser beams, and ballpoint pens, before household dishwashers, tumble dryers, electric blankets, air conditioning, and before man walked on the moon. You got married first, then lived together. You thought fast food was what you ate at Lent, a Big Mac was an oversized raincoat, and crumpet you had for tea. You existed before house husbands, computer dating, dual careers, and when a meaningful relationship meant getting along with the cousins. Sheltered accommodation was where you waited for a bus. You were born before daycare centres and disposable nappies. You'd never heard of DAB radio, DVDs, CDs, or downloads, artificial hearts, PCs, MP3s, or frozen yogurt, or men wearing earrings. You thought time-sharing meant togetherness. A chip was a piece of potato. Hardware meant nuts and bolts, and software was a knitted cardigan. Before 1950, made in China usually meant junk. A stud was something that fastened a collar, and going all the way meant staying on the bus until it reached the terminal. Pizzas, McDonald's, instant coffee, unheard of. Cigarette smoking was fashionable. Grass was mown and coke was kept in the coal house. A joint was a piece of meat you cooked on Sundays and pot was something it got cooked in. Those born back then were a hardy bunch. And when you think of the way that adjustments have been made and the way in which the world has changed and life has gathered pace, well, it just shows that change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. For so many, it's so hard to balance all the different aspects of life. And as I stand here today, not as one who knows how to do all that, but as one who finds it just as much of a struggle and just as bewildering as anyone. And it's a challenge. But it's one that's cropped up in so many conversations recently. So I felt prompted to see what God has got to say on this subject. And what, in his strength and under his guidance, it means to live a balanced life.
So what does it mean to live a balanced Christian life? Well, for me, really it means keeping God at the center and putting him first in all things. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will give you all that you need." So really it's about involving God in all things, in all parts of our lives, our work life, our hobbies, our time, our money, and just involving him in all of those things. And really interacting with him, talking to him, spending time with him on a daily basis is key. And do I find it easy to live like this? Well, no. A lot of the time I get distracted, or other things in my life might take over, like a hobby or something like that. So I'm a work in progress and I need to keep asking God for help in this.
Hello. Balance is an even distribution of weight, enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. Like a surfer riding a wave, his continuous adjustments of weight and posture go with the movement and the different adjustments of the movement of the water that keeps him going and flowing in that direction that he wants to go with that wave. At a certain point, he falls off, crashes down into the water, but he gets back up again, gets back onto that surfboard and goes forward. How easy is it for us to live a balanced life? Sometimes things are good, sometimes things are not so good. And when we lean into and adjust ourselves to the Lord, to his word, to his grace, which is sufficient for us, that's our balance.
Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? And in the notes and the study questions that accompany this talk, there are a number of Bible passages that have been a big help to me in helping form some sort of foundation for this exploration of this topic today. There's Matthew 26, 36, where Jesus is in Gethsemane. There's John 18, verses 10 and 11. Jesus accepts the will of his Father. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 8, David, living life to the full. John 2, verses 1 and 2, Jesus at the wedding in Cana. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist recognizes how short life is. Psalm 90, verse 10, again, and verse 12, a recognition of the brevity of life and a call, a challenge to make the most of the time we have. And let me just say again at this point, what this talk is not really. It's not a list of top tips, which if you just follow them exactly will mean that you'll always have a perfectly balanced life. And you'll never encounter any difficulty with the subject ever again. I wish. But as I say, these things that I'm going to say, most of which comes from advice that others haven't been afraid to give to me, a lot of which has come from making mistakes, and all of which, I hope, is underpinned with and from God's word. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, please open our eyes to see your way and your love and your guidance that you have for us as we try and navigate our way through what are often convoluted and complex circumstances in our lives. We ask this so that we can live lives that better reflect you living in us. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, a successful life, I believe, will be a balanced life. And a successful person will be one who sees things in right perspective, one who holds things in right proportion, one who distinguishes between the molehill and the mountain. And balance can be a difficult thing, and it can be a delicate thing. I've had quite a few old cars in my time. Back in ancient times when they weren't all electronic engineering, sometimes my car would be running too slowly. It would be sluggish and slow to start in the mornings, not unlike its owner. Other times it would be using too much fuel and the engine would be running too fast, and when you turned it off, it would just keep chugging. Most of the time it wasn't running at all. But the timing of the engine simply needed adjusting, and it was a delicate thing. And our lives can be the same, really. The seasons when God says to us, adjust your timing so that we can move through life in balanced fashion. And that's what I'm trying to learn and explore through this today. So the first thing that I want to talk about that's helping me is to be reminded that firstly, we need a balanced diet physically, yes, but we also need a balanced diet spiritually. Therefore, there'll be times when we have teaching that will be instructive and enlightening. Sometimes there'll be more prophetic teaching to inspire, and we all perhaps gravitate to one style or another. But I believe the simple truth is we need it all. The full menu. We have to have a balanced diet in what we receive from this lectern or from any other source of teaching that you look to, and also in our midweek groups too. And just as we need, therefore, a balance in our feeding physically, we also need a balance in our feeding spiritually. For me, it's the same too in our study of the Word of God. Because if we're balanced in our study of the Word of God, we'll be balanced in our understanding of the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, instructing into righteousness, that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the key word there is all. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is necessary. So we shouldn't just read the bits in the Bible that we like the best. It's good, as you go on with God, to read from the whole Bible. Good to read through the whole Bible in order, because we need the whole counsel of God. We need Scripture to interpret Scripture. We shouldn't just take verses in isolation and base theologies on them, or take things out of context.
Living a balanced life. For me, that consists of staying inside and going out, doing exercise. As well as that, on a spiritual level, it's making sure that I'm dipping into each aspect of growth. So listening to music, reading the Bible and praying. And praying, can't really do it in groups at the moment, but remembering to go to the secret place and sending one up there. I love worship music, so that's my go-to, really. So it's making sure to branch out and to dip into all the aspects of growth in that.
To live a balanced life, I need my body, mind and spirit to all be functioning well. For my body, this would look like being fit and healthy. My mind would need to be active and stimulated with things to test, challenge and stretch me. My spirit needs God fully present and active in everything I do, this area being the most important one at keeping everything balanced. With all of these areas functioning well and ultimately God at the centre of it all, I think I have the best chance of living a balanced life. At this phase of my life, with two small children, I find it incredibly hard to achieve much of this. Ultimately, a lot of the time, I feel a bit overwhelmed and not very balanced at all.
Okay, for me, I have to say, this has come up in so many chats that I've had with people recently, that one area that I feel is possibly the most difficult in which to strike the right balance, particularly at the moment and particularly in this fast-paced world we live in, even in the restricted circumstances we've been having recently, is striking the right balance in our use of time. Our use of time. You know, whether we're the President of America or the Prime Minister of Great Britain or Joe Public, we've all got the same amount of time in our week, 168 hours. And we'll have different demands and claims on that time, some time for eating, some time for sleeping, some for working, some with our families, some for time alone with God, some within our church family, some time for recreation, some for looking after our homes and our gardens. And we've all got these different claims and demands upon our time. And it seems to me that the two most easily compressible and the two often most left out of a busy schedule are time alone with God and time with our family and friends. And if we compress those and we neglect those, we can expect to pay a fearsome cost. We say, there's not enough time to do all the things that I want to do. That's right. But when we commit to Jesus, we effectively give up the right to spend our time as we choose. We allow him to be Lord of our time. We come under the control of his Spirit. And God says, there's enough time to do everything I want you to do. There might not be enough time for everything you think needs doing, but you'll have to trust God for those areas where he's not asking you to do it. So I think that balance in a person's use of time, in how we spend those 168 hours in the week, is so vital. I think that's so vital in leading a successfully balanced life. Do we want to come under the control of God's Spirit for that purpose? Do we ask him how we'd like that time that is given to us, that precious gift that he's given to us, do we ask him how he'd like that to be spent? Do we ask him by his Spirit to unsettle us or prompt us if we're allowing something to steal or waste time when he had something else in mind? Now, this is something I'm trying very hard to learn. I'm not saying it's easy, but I believe it's good to start asking God about our use of time. So another area that I see as really important to get right is in the balance between taking in and giving out. Between taking in and giving out. And this is directly connected, in my experience, to a balance between time alone and time with other people. Jesus, a great while before day, went out into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Why? Because he knew that in the hours of the day which stretched ahead of him, there were going to be many demands which were laid upon him to drain the energy and the strength and the goodness out of him. And unless he took in at the first possible opportunity in the day, he was going to have to run on empty, and so will we. And so we need to take in. It's like storage heaters at home. Do you have storage heaters at home that run on Economy 7, cheap electricity? Everything that uses a lot of electricity you can do at night when it's cheaper. That's why we have our main meal of the day at 3 a.m. But storage heaters teach me something. Because they work on the same principle, they take in the night and they give out in the day. And we cannot give out unless we have first taken in. There has to be the right balance. And Jesus, in the context of the garden, he said to those three who were closest to him, "Wake up, rise up, and pray in case you fall." And they fell. Why? Because the battle was not going to be won and lost when Judas and his followers came to arrest Jesus. The battle was going to be won and lost at the beginning, before the action. And unless they'd taken in, they were going to fall into temptation when the temptation or the trial or the test came. We have to take in. We have to take in. Rise up and pray, lest you fall. That verse gets me out of bed in the morning. And we've got to take in, otherwise we can't give out. And we won't have the strength for the demands which will be laid upon us, many of which we have no idea of at the beginning of each day. It doesn't have to be at dawn, although it's starting to get that way, I guess, if you've got young children, but it should be the first possible opportunity in the day. I believe it should be.
My first thought was, what a laugh. But the question is about what it means to me to live a balanced life. So for me, it's not about being in a constant state of average, but that swings in one direction need to be balanced out with swings in the other direction. That's possibly because I'm prone to swings, and I have, I hope, learned to take a longer view. an example, work-life balance, something I think I was particularly bad at, but maybe it was partly due to the jobs I had. In adjusting to retirement, God has spoken to me a lot about Sabbath rest and how life is a series of seasons. There's a time to focus on getting one thing done, and there needs to be a time to recharge the batteries afterwards. Having time for the priorities that used to get squeezed out by busyness has never been easier than it is in lockdown. But have I learned the lesson when there are competing priorities? I'll have to wait and see when normal life starts up again.
So for us, thinking about a balanced life, we think it's a little bit like having lots of juggling balls and having everything up in the air, and each of those balls has to have the right amount of time, and there has to be like a synchronicity between that in order for it to work. And I guess life is a bit like that as well, and having a balanced life. And I think about the World Health Organization definition of having a balance between health, physical and mental well-being in order to maintain health. And so it's a really important aspect, I think, it's having a balanced life. And for us, it's not easy, it's a real juggle. We're balancing jobs and kids, and I think particularly at this time it's been difficult. We do a lot of things on Google Calendar, so each of us know where the other one is at. And we have a rule in our house that if we take on extra work, we run it by everybody else to make sure everyone else is happy.
So we've looked at balance in our spiritual diet, in our study of God's Word, the Bible, in our use of time, balance between taking in and giving out. And the next thing that really challenges me is this: the balance between work and leisure, between activity and rest. And we need relaxation. Rest is needed in order to restore. So the same Jesus who says to us, "Go out into the world and make disciples," will also say to us, "Come apart with me to a lonely place and rest a while." And we need both, because we learn to minister and move from a platform of rest and peace. It's another reason why holidays are so important. Here's another. It's another thing that I've seen in other people, people I admire, and they seem to have the right balance between being serious, note I did not say intense, and having fun. I did not say being casual. The balance between being serious and having fun. And there's a time for both. Jesus was the most balanced person who ever lived. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's why he understands our grief. He knew what it was to have a heavy heart. But also, he was anointed with the oil and joy and gladness above his fellows. He was good fun to be with. And sometimes he wept and broke his heart, and sometimes he laughed and laughed and laughed. He was an emotional man. But he always had his emotions under control. But he'd learned to fully express his emotions. And that is healthy. There's a time for everything. And a season for everything under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them in. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain. There's a time to search and there's a time to stop searching. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. There's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time for hate. And there's a time for war and a time for peace. And the balanced person simply recognizes when is the appropriate and the appointed time for each.
So a balanced life, I think, consists of so many different things that rather than try and squeeze them all into 1 minute, I would focus on one of the aspects that I think is really, really important to maintain a balanced life for us all, and that's getting out and about in the countryside. And it's good for our health and mental well-being, of course, and it's also good for our faith life. We can get some quiet time with God here, clear our heads and pray. I think a balanced life is all about getting all the spokes in the wheel straight, isn't it? And what those spokes are just depends on what's happening in your life and what's important to you. And I think those things can change as well. So we are constantly having to adapt and find our balance again, depending on what's happening around us. Thankfully, I find it easy to get out and about and do this bit of maintaining a balanced life, but certainly not all the time is it easy to ensure you have that balance. And I guess getting out and about, getting our head straight and spending that quiet time with God certainly helps us reflect and certainly be self-aware enough to always be really striving to maintain that balance.
As I've been thinking about how I would describe a balanced life, I was wondering whether balance was actually the goal. When I look at the world, it seems that the aim is to get all the things that we want to do in balance with all the things that we have to do or need to do. So our work life and our home life, our chores and our hobbies, our personal time and our family time. And it seems that we have to fit in our Christian life with everything else. Now, I think the Bible has a different kind of balance in mind. Jesus calls his disciples to drop everything and follow him. The lives of Moses and Elijah, David and Job and Daniel, all have massive highs and lows, not something I think the world would call balanced. Mary and Peter and Paul are the same. What they have in common is a solid foundation. They have built their lives on God. God is first and everything else is measured against and fits in with what God is doing. So for me, a balanced life is putting God first. If God does not have control over my whole life, then I don't have a balanced life. How easy do I find it to live a balanced life? How easy is it to put God first? Well, it's not easy at all. Sometimes I think I'm doing okay, other times I'm just failing miserably. But I've learned that in my success and in my despair, God is with me. It's not easy, but God accepts me and welcomes me home. And my response is to keep on going and hopefully keep getting better.
Okay, balance in our spiritual diet, balance in our study of God's word, balance in our use of time, between taking in and giving out, between work and rest, between being serious and having fun. And the next one. I'm seeing more and more the importance of having the balance to know when we should be doing something and when we should be letting God do it. In letting go and letting God. Like when we should be the answer to our own prayer. So, Lord, please send labourers into the harvest field. Okay, here I am, I'll go. But sometimes, Lord, I'll let go. And I'll let you do it. Because only you can do it. And he may well have someone else in mind to do that particular job. And our task is really just not to get in the way, not get in God's way by pushing ourselves forwards. If we allow God's Spirit to really guide us, then yes, there'll be times when we have to be proactive, yes. But there'll be other times when we have to be still and wait patiently and wait for the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we have to do both at once. For example, Nehemiah. He's building the walls and the enemy comes to threaten and attack. And what does Nehemiah say? He says, we prayed to God and we set sentries day and night to meet the threat. You see, I'll do what I can and I'll ask God to do what I can't. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary pioneer, when he sailed to China for the first time from Liverpool, they hit this huge storm in the Bay of Biscay. The passengers were all advised to put on their life jackets. Hudson Taylor said, I'm not going to do it. I'm trusting in God. He was humble and sensible enough afterwards to say, I made a mistake. We ask God to protect our homes, but we still lock the door at night. I should do what I can and trust God to do what only God can do, however or through whoever he chooses to do it. So to wrap this up, well, one thing I find is that balanced people are usually very peaceful people. Balance in their mind and their heart and their spirit. God said to a man once, choose what I shall give you. That's scary. And that man said, give me an understanding mind, a discerning heart, give me wisdom. And this answer pleased God, and God gave Solomon not only wisdom, but success and a productive life for as long as he stayed close to him. We need great balance and great sensitivity. Lord, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. A balanced life is a wise life, and a wise life is a balanced life. Pray to God that he'll show us if and where we may need to make any adjustment in living our lives for him each and every day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we continue to place our lives under your management, help us to see. Let your Spirit reveal to us any areas of our lives that do not fall under your ultimate guidance and authority. Help us to indeed seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, to prioritize you, as putting you first leads to everything else taking its rightful order and rightful time in our lives. We admit that in our own strength we cannot do it, but you can. As we invite you afresh to live in us and through us, and may we, as we seek to find a balance and a poise to our lives, do this so as to reflect you to those around us and those we long will meet you and embrace you for themselves. Amen.